Good morning.
Good morning.
I give you a very warm welcome. I wish you a happy Christmas. It is good to see you here on this day, and it is, of course, the Lord's Day as well. Just a quick announcement. I advised the people who do tea and coffee that most people will want to rush off afterwards. However, if you've come away and you're desperate for a tea or a coffee, you can risk one of mine afterwards. I will do have a word. Secondly, for anybody who's here this evening, you're welcome back to my house for some light refreshments. Carol's going to come now and read to us from the Bible, and then we're going to sing our first carol, which is 493, after Carol's reading.
Too many carols in
there. Indeed.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted.
Amen. 493.
That wounded, lonely end.
from Luke 1, verse 34 to 38. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed her.
Amen.
From her, sorry.
539.
Holy Castle Shed, where reading is taken from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she'd given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Amen. Let's pray together and then I'll preach. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are found here on this your day. And Lord, we thank you especially on this day that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whatever presents and gifts are exchanged this morning, we thank you that the greatest gift was the very Son of God, given to a sinful and fallen humanity. And Lord, on this day, we commemorate it and we thank you. Lord, we pray that the ever so familiar accounts which we have read and heard, Lord, we pray that they will mean something afresh to us today. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd just like to look one verse further on from where Kath read. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. I've always had a bit of a fixation on the wise men or the magi. Who are they? Where did they come from? And I always enjoy looking at Christmas cards which try to depict them. What racial features will they have? Where is the artist purporting they come from? And I remember one card, one of them was black, one was Chinese, one looked rather Middle Eastern, so presumably they'd met up at some point. My own theory is that they simply came from Persia or Babylon. Where the Magi were the wise men over whom Daniel had been placed in charge all those hundreds of years before, and had primed them that one day, one like a son of man will come to the people of Israel, and you need to be on the lookout for him. That's my own theory, it cannot be proved, but I dare say in heaven they may well be there. And I'll say, by the way, where did you come from? Well, Matthew does, of course, give us a clue, although it's a very generic one. He says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. East, presumably, of Jerusalem. It's all east to us. Why does Matthew not give us more detail? Why does not Matthew say, well, I'll do my research and I'll find out exactly which nation they came from, and that way scholars and interested persons for the next two millennia can pore over it and write sermons about it. No, he contents himself by simply giving the direction of their travel. Now, from a historical point of view, that is a tad disappointing. I guess we don't need to know any more than that. And yet I also think Matthew and the Holy Spirit through Matthew is making a profound and deep theological point. Here we have Gentiles coming from an eastern direction to come and worship this king. In fact, perhaps naively, they say, for we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. And Herod and all Jerusalem are troubled by that expression. They're not just coming to take a look at him. They're not just coming to say that they were there. They're not just coming out of tradition. They're coming to worship. They were wise men. Well, what is the significance of the East? Well, of course, in the book of Genesis, we have a number of references to that direction. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are expelled from the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, that wonderful paradise on earth where man was invited to live forever. And the whole earth before the fall was wonderful and without fault, without imperfection. And yet there was something about Eden, this, I believe, rather large garden, which was especially wonderful. It was the jewel in the Creator's crown. But because of sin, because of a rebellion, a petty rebellion, you might say, but its consequences we still live with, Adam and Eve began to die. And their children were born with corruption. And they were no longer permitted to live in that paradise of God. Indeed, they are expelled east from Eden. They're sent in the direction of the rising sun. I don't think there's anything especially wicked about the east. Far from it, indeed. If you keep on going east, you'll end up where you are now. But there is, I think, a significance here, because Adam and Eve are expelled. They have to go east. Furthermore, Cain, when he is given his own exile, having committed that first terrible murder, see the outworking of Adam's dreadful act of rebellion. Within the next generation, there's actually bloodshed. And brothers who should have kept each other are taking each other out into a field in order to slay them. He goes to the land of Nod in the east. Civilization has developed, and there is an awareness that lawbreakers must be punished. So Cain, off he goes. He goes in the direction of the east. In chapter 11, when the builders after the flood are building the Tower of Babel, before they get there, they journey east in this wicked endeavour to try and storm heaven. Instead of waiting for heaven's God to graciously invite them, they go in the direction of the east. In Genesis chapter 13, when Abram and Lot separate, Lot journeys east and ends up in a little known place called Sodom, where the culture there is particularly obnoxious to the great God of heaven. There are other examples that could be used. When the Jews were exiled, they were taken to Babylon in the east. It's remarkable, therefore, that here we have wise men coming from the east. Now, there are other occasions in the Bible when people come from the east, and there's nothing especially significant about it. But I wonder if Matthew and or the Holy Spirit is making a point here that when Jesus is born in Bethlehem, one of the first groups of people to come and worship him, to acknowledge him, are people from the east. And symbolically, the east is a place of exile, it's a place of idolatry, it's a place of punishment. The message here is that because the Lord Jesus has come to the earth, anticipating, of course, the wonderful work at Calvary and the empty tomb, because the Lord Jesus has come, you can return from the east. The exile is made welcome. The idolater is made welcome. They who have not had the law or all that wonderful Old Testament tradition and schooling, they too are bade welcome. We who lost Eden, are bade welcome. We who, because we've killed and we've murdered, oh, perhaps not physically, but we've done it in our head often enough, like Cain, were called home and were bade welcome. People who have spent their lives journeying east, building towers of Babel. You might be familiar with that phrase, Eastern wisdom or Eastern religion. People say religion is in decline in Britain, possibly, but not if you're a maker of Buddha statues. They seem to be found in every other garden. Well, any who have spent their mental lives going east, building towers to obtain heaven, because Jesus came, you too now are invited to come home. You're bade welcome. And nobody, I think, can be utterly happy or content until they're right with God through Jesus Christ. Because we were each made to have a relationship with him. And when we invest everything into wealth or education or even good things like family, there is still a wanting within us. Why? Because God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. And these men of the East, clever, intelligent, wealthy, respected and sophisticated, they have never been so fulfilled or contented as they are when they find him. Verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. We don't know if there was three of them. It says probably a better number than any. But however many there are, their lives and their purposes were fulfilled at that very moment. And although they had physically travelled from the east, of course they did go home to their own country, albeit another way. But spiritually speaking, they came home. Spiritually speaking, they came from the east. And they never went back. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Let me read to you some verses from Psalm 72. Psalm 72, from verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him, for he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight, and he shall live. And the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth. On the top of the mountains its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. All nations will call him blessed, because through him all nations will be blessed. In our text, not only do we have a very clear statement that the Messiah hath come for all peoples, regardless of where they live on the planet, regardless of their previous religious affiliation, but he's come especially for those who have wandered off, especially for those who have been exiled, especially for those who have been cut off from their inheritance. The message here is come home. The message here is Eden has been remade and its entrance is open. Come to him who is the door. Come to him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Let's sing together before we have our next reading. It is number 204.
incense bring. All nations shall adore him, his praise all people sing. To him shall prayer unceasing and daily vows ascend. His kingdom still increasing, a kingdom without end.
Reading from Micah 5, verses 2 to 4. The coming Messiah. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among a thousand of Judea, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old and everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until that time that she who is in labour has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth.
Amen. 503.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 4, from verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Amen.
Amen. Before we close with our final carol, let's have a time of open prayer, as many as will.
Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the fact that you, the Father, indeed sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. We thank you that we who have been banished, who have followed false idols, who have done wrong and fled, we who have gone into the place where we deserve punishment, have been welcomed back and can, as it were, travel from the east to the place where Jesus was not only born, but where he was going to go and die and bear our sins in his own body on the tree. We thank you that we serve a risen Saviour. We thank you that the one born of a virgin rose again from the dead, having borne our sin. Father, we bless you for this. Father, the fact that you, the eternal, infinite God, should condescend to come into our world when we should have been banished, when you should have washed your hands of us, that you should come to seek and to save we who were lost. Lord, we bless you for that. Father, we know that we'll be taken up, no doubt, with food and family and festivities, but Lord, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be very much on our hearts and minds. We bless you for this season, and we ask that not only we, but those in the land in which we live would have their minds and thoughts, and indeed their affections, turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask in his name.
Amen.
For we see Jesus enthroned on high, clothed in his righteousness, we worship you this morning, Jesus. Glory and honor be unto you. You are the Alpha and the Omega. We look to you this morning, our eyes upon you on this remembrance of his gift came to you. We will thank you. Fix our eyes upon you. Sense that you're with us in this room here today. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. We honor you. We worship you. Thank you just for who you are.
Amen.
Father, I would echo Roger's prayer. Bless the name of Jesus for Christmas itself. Fully we know that Jesus, very likely we know Jesus, was not born in the room. It's very likely that it was not exactly as poor phrases, and that there are several scholars who complain about this or that detail not being quite right. But Lord, one thing that we can remember, one thing that is glorious, one thing that is true, is that the world has, in spite of its opposition to Christ and all he represents, he has not, the world has not, the joy, the good news of Christ with us. As we think of this season so often profaned by the rest of the world, nevertheless, it gives us the focus of our attention, and we gladly rejoice in the birth of our Saviour and the man who lived with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father Lord, in your presence, that's where I rush from. In your presence, O Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God, we thank you for your name.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, this Christmas day we give you our hearts afresh this morning. how can we not, when we consider what you've done for us? He came from heaven to earth, he died for our sins, and he has prayed to us, we came in heaven. So we pray and thank you for that, Lord. Take our hearts and use to us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Blessed is the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Amen. 589.
Prince of glory when he came.
that you began. Bring God's glory to the heart of man. Sing that Bethlehem's little baby can be salvation to the soul. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord appear to men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Mine are riches from your poverty, from your innocence eternity. Mine forgiveness by your death for me, child of sorrow for my joy. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord appear to men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came.
For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless.